Find that in your Bibles and stand with me. We'll read our text, Luke chapter 1. For our guests this morning, we're going through the book of Luke. We just finished the Gospel of John several weeks ago, I guess, by now. So coming out of the Gospel of John, now we're going into the book of Luke. And so our verses for this morning are starting in verse 34, and we'll read to verse number 38. Luke chapter 1. If there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" So we're right in the middle of a visit from Gabriel the angel to Mary to tell her she's going to be with child of the Holy Ghost. In verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, and be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Verse number 37, let's say it all together. Ready? Begin. For with God nothing shall be impossible. The title this morning is Trust, Even When You Don't See How It Will Work. Trust. You say, "I don't see how it's going to work, though." But God knows.
Amen.
He knows how it'll work. And we can trust Him. Father, this morning, one more time, we ask Your touch. We need Your blessings. God, please do a work in our hearts. Use the message. Help us to like this title, like what we see in Mary, to trust You. Even when we can't understand it or see how it'll work. Because we know with You, all things are possible. We'll give You glory for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Kids are having a good time over there, it sounds like. Good night. Maybe we just need to get a little louder. Amen. When I was younger, I would like to take things apart when they didn't work, like electronic stuff. You know, I don't know what it was about that. I always thought maybe I could fix it. You know what I mean? Like something electronic. I don't know anything about electronics. I would take the thing apart, take all the components apart, all the screws and maybe some pieces that didn't have screws. You know, I mean, just take it all apart. And then when I got it all apart, I didn't know what was broken. I just thought maybe if you took it apart and put it back together, it would work. The problem was I wouldn't know how to put it back together. I would take it all apart and I would forget, okay, so where did this one go? So a lot of times I would just give up on that process and then throw it in the trash. Sometimes I would put it all back together, but then there would be some leftover pieces. Like, well, I don't think these ones are important, you know? Or this has happened too. I would put it all back together, but then there's a rattle. I'm like, I don't remember this rattling before. And then, of course, in the end, it still didn't work. So it didn't matter what I did anyway. And we talked about this in Sunday school, let God put the pieces together. It's amazing how this, you know, works in tandem with what we're talking about this morning. But that's how we treat life sometimes. And what I mean to say is we think that we can put things together and it's going to work out. We think we can do things our way and it's going to be good. And what ends up happening is things get taken apart and there's a mess and things aren't working right. And so we sort of get our hands in on it and we're going to fix things and we're going to put things together and it's going to be good. But then when we put it together, there's some pieces that are left out, you know, or there's a rattle and we think, man, I don't remember the rattle before. This wasn't in my life before I started tinkering with, you know, with this process. And so now we not only have not fixed anything by trying to do it ourselves, we actually made things worse. We actually broke things apart and made things harder to be put back together. And listen, life doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to live your life trying to fix things and put things together.
Amen.
You don't have to do that. I'm like, well, you know, I just got to do the best I can. The reality is if you don't have to do the best you can.
Right.
The best you can will never be good enough anyway. Amen. You're like, oh man, this is encouraging. Thank you, Pastor. I'm glad I came to church today, patting me on the back, you know, with a hammer or something. So no, we need God. Amen. We can't do it without Him. Amen. You can't put the pieces together. You don't know how it fits. You don't know how it works. We're like a toddler. We know how to break stuff. We don't know how to put things together or solder or put it, you know, where it goes. We don't have the diagram. God has the big picture. God has the blueprints. He has the diagram. He knows how it all works together. This is so amazing. This is a real understanding of the sovereignty of God. God knows how to make even your mistakes turn out good. How amazing is that? That God knows how it all can work together for His glory. I mean, we should just stop doing it our way. I mean, if we could just put it, if are you ready for this sermon to be over? We could just end it right now. Hey, no, we're not going to end it. So don't get too excited, okay? But if we ended it right now, here's what we would say. Stop doing it your way. Turn all the pieces over to God and let Him put it together. Because He knows what He's doing. He knows how to do it. But that's where our struggle is. Our struggle isn't knowing that. There's a few amens right there. Maybe there should have been some more amens when I said that. But there was a few amens. And so we know that it's true. The problem is trusting God in the process. Yes. The problem is actually putting feet to the fire, putting feet to the action of trusting and knowing that God can do this. Okay, so this morning, we would be wise to acknowledge if we keep doing it our way, it's not going to build anything. It's going to just break things apart. We can't put it back together. Only God knows how to put it back together. So we need to stop that process and know that it's true that God can work this thing out and turn it over to Him and let Him do that work. But it's hard. It's hard to do that. Why? Because what we're looking at looks fairly impossible. Have you ever looked at something in life and it looked, if this is going to be fixed, this seems impossible to me. You ever had something like that? Yeah. How about this? Do you feel like you're going through something like that? Like, man, so here's where I am, and this is the challenge or the struggle that I'm facing. I'm not sure that it's possible, or it feels to me that this feels to me like impossible to put back together. But we don't want to quit or we don't want to stop trying, so we're just going to do the best we can. But it still feels impossible along the way. This is what Mary would have been facing. Now, I'm not saying that Mary is facing a trial or a struggle or a broken life, but she is certainly experiencing a command and a call of God to follow suit or follow in with an action that is impossible. God said to her, you're going to be with child. You're going to be with child, and the child will be the Savior, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Now, I want you to see how she responds to that. Verse number 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That, by the way, is not her doubting God. That is her wondering, how can this happen? How can I be with child when I've not been with a man? There's some things that I understand about life, and that is without a man, there cannot be a child. And so she knows that that's true. And so with God giving her this instruction that she's going to be with child and her not having been with a man, she wonders, how can this be? How can this happen? And that would have been the question, how can this happen? Can I say that would be a question that we would have? That would be a kind of question that we would struggle with, that would cause us to not want to trust God, because we would see what God is telling us to do, and He is telling us, I know how this is going to work out. But you look at it and you see, how is this going to work out? It just doesn't seem like it's going to work out to me. But God says it will. So it will. So what we do is we need to set our feelings aside and trust the Lord in this process. Look what God said to her, or the angel reported to her in verse number 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also the holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. So God says the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. It's amazing the terms here that the angel uses, the Holy Ghost, meaning this, the power that's going to make this change or do this work is not going to be Mary's power or a man's power. It's God. Amen. God's the one who's going to do it. We need to acknowledge that. I mean, we would be wise to acknowledge that. If things are going to be built or put together, then God's going to be the one who's going to do it, or it's not going to happen. And so you're in a good place this morning. Actually, you're in the right place. Because when we open the Word of God, do you know what we're reading from? We're reading from the Word of God. This isn't a message from man. This book did not come from men. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we know that this is from God. And by the way, you know it's from God. Because when you hear the message of the Word of God, guess who touches your heart? That's the Holy Spirit. He convicts you. He touches you. It's the power of God at work in your soul. If you need to be saved this morning, we have Brother AJ and Miss Yvette going to get baptized today. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited. Remember that day, Miss Yvette? I don't mean to embarrass you, but if it does embarrass you, I'm sorry. But I'm just excited about it. So it was invitation time several weeks ago. Miss Yvette's like, I need to be saved. I mean, she didn't say it out loud, but I mean, it was happening in there, right? So she's like, I need to be saved, and I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. So she left her spot, and she walked right over here, and she was standing here, and she was looking at me like, well, I need to be saved, Pastor, so what do we do now? So then she asked the Lord to save her. She asked God into her heart, and He saved her. Now, here's my question for you. How would somebody know that they need to be saved? Because they hear the message of the gospel, and the Holy Spirit convicts your soul. You know you need to be saved, because the Spirit tells you you need to be saved. If you need to be saved this morning, He's already talking to you. He's already talking, oh yeah, this is you. This is you. You need to be saved. That's not the pastor. I don't have an understanding of how to touch hearts. I just preach the Word. And the Holy Ghost touches you. If you need to be saved, He will tell you that. He'll prick you. And by the way, that's all you're getting. You're like, will God make me get saved? No, He won't make you get saved. But He'll tell you you need to be saved, and He'll convict you, and He'll draw you. And in His tender love, He'll compel you to come to salvation. But that's a choice you have to make. And so you're under conviction because God's telling you you need to be saved. Now you have a choice to make to turn your heart to Him. And so there's a work of the Holy Spirit that's happening in our presence even this morning through the message of the Word of God. And that's the power of God. The power of God who works in hearts even today. The same as He did even in those days. Now, there's a word here I want you to see. It's the word overshadowed. I got stuck on that word. It's amazing that whenever the Scripture gives descriptions and tells how God works, it says the power of the highest. It says the work of the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And then He uses the word overshadow. The word overshadow has to do with like a covering. Like a covering. When I'm running outside in the heat, when it's hot outside, you're like, you run in the heat. I don't run as far when it's hot outside. But I do like to keep up that exercise. So I'm running and it's hot outside. What ends up happening is I start to overheat and I start looking for shade. And in the summer in Phoenix, it's pretty incredible the difference in the sun and in the shade. It's a big difference. And I'm finding that shade and I'm standing there. I'm like, this is nice. And what it is you're being overshadowed. You're being covered. And what God is saying to this woman, Mary, He's saying, the Holy Ghost is going to come and He's going to overshadow you. You're going to be filled with His presence. The same term is used to describe when God would show up in the temple and there would be a filling or an overshadowing of His presence. What God is saying is, I'm going to show up. My presence is going to be evident. And I'm going to fill the room and it's going to overshadow you. It's almost just to say, God says, I'm going to fill you and I'm going to touch you and you're going to know that I'm there and I'm going to just overcome you. I'm going to overcome you in that sense. Can I tell you this morning, I'm hungry for that. Amen. I'm hungry for God's presence this morning. Amen. I'm hungry for God to overshadow and reveal Himself. We mentioned in prayer this morning, it's a dark place that we live in this world. And what we need is an overshadowing of God. To understand His presence, to walk and know that He's walking with us. That's what I'm hungry for this morning. And that's my prayer for us this morning, that God would be here, that His presence would be here. And so God speaks to Mary, and He says to her that you're going to be with child. She doesn't know how this can be. How can this happen? And He explains that the Holy Ghost will show up and you'll be touched by the Spirit and you'll be overshadowed by the presence of God. And the Lord Jesus will be born and He will be the Son of God. You're going to bring the Son of God into this world. She did not ask for a sign. But it's amazing. God gave her one. Look at verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her, say those next two words, old age. Do you know what God just said, or the angel here, God's message to Mary is? That your cousin Elizabeth, she's with child in her old age. Now this is God saying to Mary that I did a miracle here. I made Elizabeth to be with child. This is impossible. And then he said plainly in verse 37, with God nothing shall be impossible. And so the message to Mary is to say that you look at this circumstance and you look at where we are and the message and the call that I've given to you, and you wonder how it can be. But I want you to see what I've done. Look what I've done in Elizabeth. And this is impossible, but it's possible with me. What you're seeing in Elizabeth, it can't happen, but with me it can happen. Amen. With me, nothing is impossible. Right. What I'm trying to tell you, Mary, is that I can do the impossible. When you're looking at it, you see, I can't see how this is going to work out. I know what God is telling me, but I don't see how it's going to work out. All right, it doesn't seem possible to me. All right. And God says, but hang on. With me, nothing is impossible. Amen. Yes. And so you can trust me that I can do it. I can make my promises come true. I can make my promises in your life become just as I promised. You can trust me in that. And this strikes right at where we struggle, friends. Yes. This strikes right at where our faith ends. Our faith often ends where with what we can see. You know, when we can see how it will work out, then that's where our faith takes us. Like, okay, I know what God wants me to do here, and I can see it. And so we follow God in faith. Why? Because we can see where that faith is taking us. Like, I can see how this can work out. I can see how this will be okay. I can see how God can put all these things together, and it'll work, you know. And I trust the Lord, and I know He's going to do it, and I believe Him. And because we can see it, we trust Him. But the problem comes when we don't see it. The problem comes when God calls us to something or leads us to something or gives us direction to make a decision or do an action or make a change or talk to somebody or make some sort of a decision in our life. And that decision, we don't see how that's going to work out. And sometimes the devil wants us to see that it's only going to make things worse. Did you know that the devil wants you to think that if you trust God and obey God and follow God, that things are actually going to be worse? The devil wants you to think that. And so what ends up happening, because we don't see how God can work this out or how this can work out, it seems impossible to us, then we're hindered in our decision to follow the Lord. Yes. Yeah. Right. And so God brings along the way this example of Elizabeth to say, and I don't want you to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth in her old age, do you know what I did? I made her to be with child. And that's a miracle. Only God could do something like that. But that's the power that I have, the power that I can bring into your life. The victory that I can bring into your life, the change that I can make in your life. If you'll just trust me and you'll let me be the one that makes the decisions and you'll navigate life with me as the lead in your life, then I can make what looks impossible to you work out. Mary saw that. And you know what she did? She trusted the Lord. She said, I am your bondservant to say that I'll follow you and I'll trust you and I'll obey you. I'll do as you command. I'll do as the Lord leads. I'll trust the Lord along the way, because here's what I understand. Even though I can't see how this is going to work out, God knows how it's going to work out. Right. And I'm going to trust Him. That's what Mary said. I'm going to trust Him. How many of you like to do puzzles? Raise your hand if you like puzzles. Okay. I like a lot of hands. I like puzzles too. We haven't done one for a while. But we do like to do puzzles. We have some puzzles we like to redo. It's just certain fun ones. This is a fun one. It's almost like a cartoon of the United States of America. So it has like the buildings and they all have like billboards or whatever. And so it's the whole United States. And so it's like a 1,500 pieces, and they're all real small. So it's a lot. Here's where I am with the puzzle process. I like to do the border, and I also like to do the process. You know, I don't mind it, because it's like mindless stuff. You know, when I study all the time and I'm working on sermons or I'm counseling or I'm talking to people, that's not mindless stuff, you know, which is good. And I love all of that. But it's nice to sit down and work on something that is just colors and pictures. You're like, oh, this is a nice picture. You know, let's do that. You know, I don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to think about stuff. You don't have to read anything. You're just like, ooh, picture, color, you know, and try to match it together. And so I like to do the grind of the puzzles, you know. And here's what I found in the puzzle process. I'm fairly often alone in that, okay? Maybe the border, I have a couple of helpers looking for the edges because they're flat. And then we get the border together. Everybody disappears. And it's just dad. And I'm working on the, you know, sometimes somebody will come up, oh, I see a piece, you know, one I've been looking at, and they put it right where it goes. I've been looking for that one, you know. And then they walk away. They don't stay. They don't help. They don't want to be a part of that process. But you know what happens, right? You know where I'm going with this. Yeah, and then you get close to the end. There's like 25 or 30 pieces left, but you can see most of the puzzles put together. And that's when everybody shows up. I was like, oh, I like doing puzzles. No, you don't, you liar. All you want to do is finish it and make do it complete. That's all you want to do. And so everybody shows, like the whole family, all six of us, surrounding this puzzle, and I don't even get to put the last piece in. I did most of the work, you know what I mean? So, you know, pat me on the back later. I need that. So you have phases in the puzzle process. You have the border, you have the grind, the middle part, and then you have the end, what I call the end game, like the end, like the last 25 pieces. Most people like the 25 pieces. You know why? Because the picture's already there. You just got 25 pieces to go. That's how it is in life. God, yeah, listen, your life is a mess. You're like, oh, my life's not a mess. You're not being honest. All of our lives, without God, we're a mess. And it's like a puzzle that's just a pile in the table, and it's overwhelming. It can become overwhelming. And for some of us, it's extremely overwhelming, depending on where we are in life. And so what ends up happening is we get overwhelmed with the process, and we're trying to do things ourselves, but it's not coming together. And it never will come together. And what we want is we want the pig, if we're going to follow God, then we want it to be mostly the picture complete. And we want to see most of how this thing's going to work out and look. And then we'll trust God and then we'll follow God. But whenever what God is, watch this. When God is leading us down a path and we can't see the big picture, then we have trouble trusting. Because we can't see how it's going to come together. And so what ends up happening is we start doing it our way. We start thinking that if I navigate this thing, and if I hide this and I don't deal with this and I, you know, manipulate this, then, you know, A plus B is going to equal C and it's all going to work out. The problem is it won't work out that way. It'll never work out the way you think it's going to work out, you doing it your way. What we need to do is trust the Lord with the process and understand He's the one who's going to put it all together. He knows truly how things are going to work out and how this is going to affect that and how that is going to affect this and what's going to come out on the other end. And we're afraid. We're afraid because we can't see it. We can't. It looks impossible to us. And so because of that fear of how is this going to turn out, then we stiff arm God. We put up the barricades and blockades. And on the outward, we act as though, yes, I trust God and I believe God and I love Him and I'm going to follow Him, and we go to church and we do the outward things and we have our suit on and we look nice and we talk about, you know, God and we give tracts and we do all those things. But we know that on the inside, God is leading us to do some things and we don't trust Him. And so we won't do it. Because we don't see how God's going to make it work out. We're afraid. I'm afraid to trust the Lord. If I do what God is wanting me to do with my kids, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my kids. Do you know what I've seen parents do through the years? Not follow God with their kids, afraid they're going to lose their kids. And you know what ends up happening years down the road anyway? They lose their kids. When all the time, even though we can't know how things are going to turn out with our children or how things are going to turn out with other people that we love, here's what we can always know: that God knows how what He's leading us to do will affect the other things in life and how He can make everything work together for good. Yes. If we would just trust Him with those decisions. God, this is a hard thing. And I can't see how it's going to work out. But God says, but I can do impossible things. But God, it doesn't seem possible to me, but that's okay. That's where I work. I work in the realm of impossible. I know how it'll work out. You can trust me. We struggle there, don't we? When we moved to Arizona, we put all our stuff in a 15-foot U-Haul. Process that for a second. All of our stuff. Six people, family. 15-foot U-Haul. We could not get all of Brother Stussy's stuff in a 26-foot U-Haul. We needed a trailer, a van, a car, a truck, and another big truck. Throwing you under the bus here, right? And then they were able to get all of Miss Sarah's clothes. And then after that, no. <laughs> 15-foot truck. So we had all that stuff in our house. And it was kind of a lot of stuff. And I looked at it and I go, man, I don't think this is going to fit. And then my wife was like, I don't think this is going to fit. And then everybody who walked in there and saw that stuff, they were like, I don't think this is going to fit. Everybody said that. We had men's prayer breakfast. It was a Saturday. We loaded. And at men's prayer breakfast that day, like I said, everybody was like, I don't think this is all going to fit in here, you know. And here's one thing maybe none of us saw coming, is that at men's prayer breakfast that day, a guy showed up who'd never been to men's prayer breakfast. We found out used to be a professional mover. Like, that was his job. Like, really? Happens to be that we're going to be loading a truck today. Yeah, I want to help with that. Hallelujah. What's your name again? This guy shows up. And I'm like, hey, you need to do a Tetris thing, and we need to figure out how to get all of this stuff in that truck. He's like, oh, yeah. Gloves, let's go. He starts putting it in there, and he's like, no, I need a long one that's this wide and this. And we're like, okay, we got one. Here it is. Okay, and he would just tell us what size he needs, and we'd take it to him. He loaded this thing from front to back, top, bottom to top, and there was no space in there at all. But you know what's incredible? Is it all fit. He got it all in there. I was like, man, yeah, I got more stuff. If I was doing it, believe me, it would not have been this way. Almost anybody else except that guy. And it happened to be that he showed up at men's prayer breakfast that day, and he'd never been to our church before. That's something I think we look at, and I think only God could do something like that. Amen. And that's like a small scale of God saying to you in your life, you know, there is a puzzle that you're looking at. If you'll let me put this thing together for you, I know how it all is going to work together if you'll just trust me. What looks impossible to you, it's not impossible for God. We just need to stop trusting ourselves. Need to set the fear aside and say, you know what? I don't want to be afraid anymore. I want to believe God, and I want to trust Him. Amen. I was reading this morning. I've actually been reading in Numbers for several weeks now. And the way I've been doing my Bible reading is I read a chapter or two chapters, and then the next day I read those same chapters again. And then the next day, if the Lord is working in me, I'll read those same chapters again. So this is like my fourth day in a row to read Numbers 13 and 14. And I just feel like the Lord has something more for me there. And it might be that tomorrow we'll move on because of what God gave me this morning in Numbers chapter 13. When I'm reading through it, and I saw us in Numbers 13. When God, through Moses, said, I want you to send spies into the land that I've given you, and I want you to spy out the land to prepare to go into the promised land. And remember the 12 spies? When they saw the blessings and the promises of God in the promised land, and they come back and report, there was Caleb who says, oh yeah, let's go. God's going to give us the land. I love Caleb's testimony, don't you? Oh yeah, let's go. God's going to give us the land. Here's what Caleb's saying. We can trust God. We can trust God. But the other 10, and Joshua would have been that way too. And you have the other 10 spies who said, no, 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 no. I mean, yeah, it's a blessed land, and it's flowing with milk and honey, and it's a great place, but we can't take the land because there's giants in the land. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And so what you have here is you have really both sides of what we're talking about this morning. And you're on one or the other side of this. God is leading you, and He's saying, I'm going to give you the land. I have promises for you. I have a blessing for you. I can put all the pieces together. And what and the temptation that we have is like those 10 spies to say, I don't see how it's possible. These are giants. This is going to destroy us. This is going to work. This isn't going to work out. I don't know if I can believe God. I don't know if I can trust God. So on one side you have, I can trust God. God can do it. God can do miracles. God can do the impossible. And on the other side to say, I can't see how this is going to work out. I don't think we should trust the Lord with this. And so my question for you this morning is, where are you? Where are you with this? Because you're on one of the other side of that. This morning, let me encourage you to come to the Lord, to trust Him. If you need to be saved, my encouragement to you this morning is to know that He's faithful and He can save you. If there's a decision that needs to be made and you've been struggling to trust God with that decision, let me encourage you to trust Him because He can do the impossible. Amen.